Welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Monday, May 22nd, 2023. This is edition number 89 of Season 8 as we continue working our way through the Westminster Confession of Faith. Today we'll complete Chapter 16 on the Doctrine of Good Works by looking at paragraph number 7. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church located in Evansville, Indiana. Let's pray together and then we'll consider this final paragraph of Chapter 16. Our Father in heaven, as we come again to your word, we come asking that your spirit would guide and direct us as we seek to understand more and more of the mind of our God who's given us his word that we might know how to live. We pray that you would direct us and you would inform us, that you would illumine our hearts and our minds to these truths, that you would grant us all that we need that we might live holy lives before you. We pray, Father, that you would forgive us for our transgressions and our sins. And you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us now, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we come to chapter number 7. It is the flip side of paragraph number 6. Paragraph number 7 deals with matters related to good works as done by unregenerate men. You remember in our last edition, we considered those works that are done by those who are believers, who have been justified by faith alone. We've considered the various aspects that are related there in paragraph number 6, but we still have to deal with the many that have yet to repent and look to Christ for their Savior. What about their labors? What about their works? Well, we know right away that their works cannot save them. It won't merit them God's favor, for they do not keep all that God commands perfectly. But what else? What use is there to their labors or to their good works? Now, Chad Van Dixhorn titles this section of his book, The Good Works of Unbelievers, Useful but Unacceptable and Necessary. It's an interesting way of putting it. Let's read the paragraph. Works done by unregenerate men, although for the matter of them that they may be things which God commands and of good use both to themselves and others, yet because they proceed not from an heart purified by faith, nor are done in a right manner according to the word, nor to a right end the glory of God, they are therefore sinful and cannot please God or make a man meet to receive grace from God, and yet their neglect of them is more sinful and displeasing unto God. So a number of things to consider here. Let's look at an example of this first expression, works done by unregenerate men, although for the matter of them, they may be things which God commands and of good use both to themselves and others. We note in 2 Kings chapter 10, we have a narrative account of an event that took place that highlights or underscores for us this very principle that's been set down here in this paragraph. 2 Kings chapter 10, verses 30 and 31. This is during the reign of Jehu. He's reigning in Israel, and we read there in verses 30 and 31, "And the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in carrying out what is right in my eyes, and have done to the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, your sons of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He did not turn from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel to sin." And so while God can use the works of the unregenerate to accomplish his purposes, and they may be of good use both to themselves and to others, think of a society that had people living out the depravity of their own sinfulness and doing nothing, as it were, good in this world, that is to say, good on a horizontal plane between man and man. Just consider how awful this place would be. Some might argue that the world we live in is pretty bad already. Well, just multiply that by a factor of, who knows, a lot, and then consider just how horrible it would be. So it may be beneficial for men to do good things as it keeps order in society and maintains the common good. It is not enough, of course, to merit or please a holy God. And we go on and see some of the reasons for that And we read there, yet because they proceed not from an heart purified by faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 and 6, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so in other words, for good works to be truly good in the eyes of God, they must be covered by the blood of Christ. They must be done with a heart purified by faith. And they must be done in a right manner. That is to say, not only the outward expression of those efforts or labors, but also by right motive and right intention. That is to say that they follow the terms as given to God by his word, but they do it also for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever it is you're doing, do all to the glory of God. The unregenerate cannot do those things to the glory of God, for they have no interest in the glory of God, only in themselves. And so the unregenerate may do good things because they don't want to lose their house if they don't pay their mortgage. They don't want to be pulled over by the police and go to jail, so they follow the speed limit or whatever the case may be. But they don't do those things to testify and to bring testimony to the goodness and glory of God. They do that to save their own skin. They do that for their own selfish purposes, and therefore they can never be considered good in the sense in which God considers the good works of Christians as they seek to do what God has said. And thus, therefore, they are sinful, cannot please God or make a man meet to receive grace from God. And we see that in Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And even their neglect of these things becomes more sinful and even displeasing to God. We have an example of that in Matthew 25, verses 41 to 45. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, yet ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not do it to one of the least of these, ye did not do it to me. That is, of course, sins of omission. They don't do what God has commanded. And if they did do what God has commanded, they would do it to a wrong end, with a wrong motive, certainly not for the glory of God. And so while we're glad and we're thankful as Christians that God has been pleased to cause unregenerate men to act in a civil manner in society by and large, to do good things on a horizontal level between man and man, we must remember that when God sees those good works, regardless of the fact that he's ordained them, when he sees them, he sees them as displeasing to him, because everything that we do, everything that his creatures do, should be done with an eye to the glory of God. But only the redeemed are made able to do that. And only those who are covered by the blood of Christ, therefore, who do good works, are those works then, therefore, accepted and pleasing to God. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. If we considered a very important subject, the whole matter of good works. We've completed this chapter. We'll begin on Tuesday with chapter 17 of the Perseverance of the Saints. But if you have any questions or comments, you can leave me a note. The way to reach me is there before you on the screen. And so until the Tuesday edition, we'll begin looking at chapter 17. May the Lord help you today. May you strive through all the means he's given you to be obedient to that which he has told you in his word. God bless.